This is the Home Tech Podcast, the special Windows Phone and Nokia Lumia edition. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live and commercial-free from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a hot and sweltery Bellevue, Nebraska. And the show is posted each week with world-class show notes out at theAverageGuy.tv. You can contact the show, send me an email, just podcast at theAverageGuy.tv. Track me down on Twitter, just at Jay Collison. Or follow the show schedule on a new Twitter that we established just a couple weeks ago. It's just at TheAverageGuyTV, all one word. Of course, all the links automatically download the show. We picked up some new viewers last week, and actually through this podcast that we did for the phone last week, we picked up some new viewers. If you are new to podcasting or you're new to listening to podcasts, you can download them automatically to your Android or your iPhone or your Windows phone or even your WebOS phone. We have all the necessary links available out at TheAverageGuy.tv to do that. If you have any questions, again, send me an email, just podcast at theAverageGuy.tv. We're on Facebook and Twitter and now YouTube. Search for The Average Guy Podcast. And if you're out there and you like what we're doing, please just hit plus one or like or whatever other tidbit or incentives there are in the social media platforms to get us noticed. We appreciate it. All right, we got a busy show today, and I'm going to dig right into some of the content. But first, I want to introduce folks that are joining us today. First and back from last week, and my friend in St. Louis is Chris Lux. Chris, how are you today?
I'm doing good. If I'm distracted, it's because I'm watching the Indy 500, and it's very exciting. So I may keep looking over to my right and going, this is great. So that's what's
happening. Anytime you look to the right, I'll know that you're watching the Indy 500 and not exactly paying attention to the podcast. Well, thanks for podcasting with us last week. A very successful show. And I'll just remind folks, if they do have questions, I mean, both you guys, I'll introduce Mike here in a second, are pretty good Windows 7 experts. And if you have questions, send me an email at podcast@theAverageGuy.tv. I'll forward those on to you guys. Chris, you're just Windows Phone 7 at this point. You don't have any other gadgets. You carry anything else, a Zune or any of those other kind of devices?
I use a Zune HD in my car, and I take it to the gym sometimes. Okay. But other than that, for music, which is, I know is kind of our big topic today, those are pretty much the two things, is the Zune and the Windows Phone and the Zune HD.
And you have a Zune Pass?
Yeah, I've had one since I first bought my Zune HD.
Okay, we'll talk a little bit about that here in a sec, but that's good. Then joining us this week, and he tried to get on last week but showed up to the show a little bit too late. Actually, it was over by the time he flagged me down, and I said, don't worry, Mike, we'll get you back on this week. Mike Martis from BYOB. Mike, how are you?
Pretty good, Jim. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, and hey, tell me a little bit about your history with Windows and Windows Phone.
Well, I'm an IT professional, so I have plenty of experience with Windows, but my first Windows phone was an HTC Titan, and that's actually the same Windows phone that I'm using, but pretty much my entire family has switched over to Windows Phone. My son has a Focus S, my father has a Lumia 900, and my stepmother has the Samsung Focus something, sure. Mm-hmm. Something okay. Else, S? It's a small Flash, yeah. Focus Flash.
Okay, Flash. Okay. Yep. And are they on that because you kind of convinced them to go on to it, or what was the process there?
Well, my son really didn't have a choice. I sat down with my dad, and he was kind of looking for something other than a dumb phone. He wanted to switch over to a smartphone. And he played around with Android and iPhone because I had both as test platforms here. And he actually preferred the Windows phone. So okay. He went ahead and just kind of shopped around and asked my opinion, and I told him, I said, well, I think the 900 is probably the best phone out right now for him. He didn't like the Titan. It was too big.
And how old is he?
My dad is 56.
So he finds it pretty easy to use?
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's an easy phone. I have any problem.
I mean, he's got some basic questions on it, but I mean, for the most part, it's kind of the type of questions you would normally field from someone who's not used to a smartphone, like how do I get my pictures to sync and that kind of thing.
That kind of stuff. So good. Well, I appreciate you making the podcast this afternoon. Thanks for doing that. Want to introduce you? Bet. You bet. Also want to introduce Christopher Brown. Christopher responded to a tweet that I put out and said, hey, anybody out there, have used Windows Phone 7, would be interested in doing a podcast. And so that people actually do say yes to those kinds of things. I always think that's crazy that someone would come, just a stranger would say, oh, yeah, I'll answer that tweet. But Christopher, you did that. Christopher, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself, because we haven't met you yet, as from a show perspective. A little bit about what you do and then your background with Windows Phone.
Sure. I'm a math teacher. I teach continuation high school math. I've been teaching for 22 years, and I've used lots of different phones. I did the iPhone 3G, 3GS. My wife has the 4S. I have had a couple of Android phones, and I'm on my second Windows phone. So I kind of span the gamut. I use an iPad. I have a HTC Flyer, an Android, and I like them all, sure. But I'm a big fan of Windows Phone. I don't know that I could go back to something else.
What do you think for you? What's the single feature that you just, I mean, you kind of camp on and say, this is why I like Windows Phone?
Two big things. I think the battery life on my phone has been tremendous. I have an HTC Titan as well, Mike, and love it. And then I think, you know, I've never, I mean, it's not true. I think twice in the 9 months that I've had my phone or so, I've had to reboot it. And someone with Android and even the iPhones, I've had to, you know, at some point they require a reboot, just, and I haven't had to do that. It's just been, it's been pretty dead simple, and I love that. So,
okay.
Big fan.
Okay, yeah. I have the feature. I said this last week, but the navigation apps that are on there have set it apart for me. And you can reference last week's show. I talked a little bit about why, but I still continue to go to those things. And when I have to turn this phone back in, I'm going to kind of miss the navigation, especially the Nokia Drive. That's kind of the application I've kind of landed on, but I'm going to miss it. It's a really good, it's a Navtech based. Navigation software, and it's just dynamite. So I'm going to miss that when I give it back. Well, it's at Nokia Connects, and I want to say thanks to Hannah out at Nokia Connects. She's been my connection to Nokia for this trial period, and Hannah had said, hey, it's Music Week out at Nokia Connects, and it's just NokiaConnects.com. If you have a Nokia phone, you might want to pop out there. You can actually get on some beta programs out there through Connects and kind of take advantage of some of the things that they're doing before they come out to the general public. But she says it's Music Week out at Nokia Connects, and if we talked a little bit about that, that would be good and would kind of match up with what they're talking about. So I'm going to talk a little bit music. I noticed as soon as I plugged the Lumia into my PC, it wanted to download Zune. And it downloaded the Zune software, and it does require, or at least as far as I've gotten, it does require for me to move music or podcasts or some of those items. It does require the Zune software to be installed on my PC to make that connection. Now, I've used Zune before, so I didn't have any problems with it, or the Zune player, I guess, on the client version. I didn't have a problem with it. Chris, you've been using, I assume with your devices, you've been using the Zune software for a long time. Your impressions of it right off the bat, maybe for somebody who hasn't used it before, who's thinking about moving over to a Windows Phone. I know they're trying to move away from having to have the client on the PC for the Windows Phone.
Yeah.
But for right now, your impression of it?
So I've always preferred the Zune software to the Windows Media Player software. It was sort of the default way to sync things back and forth. It was certainly from a style standpoint, it's much more of a modern interface, a lot of kind of elegant graphics, and really nice, clean menus that you can move in and out of things. A lot of people look at Media Center and the Zune software as the first things that were stylized with the Metro styling, which we're going to see in Windows 8. And so it was kind of a surprise to me, and I think to others, when we heard that they were sort of not just kind of moving some things away from the Zune software, but that they were going to get rid of that entire app, I think, for the next version, that Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 are not going to rely on that Zune software in order to sync things to the phone. They've already removed the marketplace, so you can no longer buy apps from the Zune software. You have to buy them from the website or from the phone directly, which is how I think most people do it at this point. But yeah, it's a really good piece of software. It does take a moment to figure out what you're doing because it's so different from other versions of software. There's not really the file, edit, copy menu that didn't make sense for this. But it's actually very nice for watching video, listening to music. launching stuff within the Zune ecosystem. So it's a good piece of software.
I totally agree, too. I like the Zune software a lot. With mine, with the Zune, you can say, I want three of this kind and two of this one, and I only want one of this, and just that ability to kind of customize and not just have one universal, this is the way we're going to do podcasts, I liked it a lot. So.
Okay, so a favorable experience. Mike, your opinion of the Zune software so far?
Well, I've been using the Zune software for quite some time. It's actually my preferred player. Over Windows Media Player as well. I originally used iTunes. I still use iTunes since I still have Apple devices, unfortunately. But I actually love the software. I think it's fairly intuitive. There's a few quirks about it that I kind of don't like. I don't like that it creates specialized playlist files instead of just being able to use... I mean, I guess you can use the regular like M3U or whatever. But when you create the playlist within Zune, it's a special file extension that doesn't really transfer over to other PCs that would not have Zune software on it.
Even so. Back to the Zune itself. So yes. if you reinstall the software, wow. It's like it says, oh, here's this playlist, but it no longer has any of the smart features built in, which is really odd. But
yeah, you lose all your hearts and everything. But I mean, overall, I really like the software. It plays video really well. I have no complaints with it.
You don't use it as a piece of desktop software, though, right? I mean, you're not playing music.
That's absolutely how I use it. Yeah, I don't. I'm not a real big fan of streaming music, so I don't use Pandora or. I tried Spotify for a while. I'm just not a big fan of it. I prefer to kind of make my own playlists or use like Smart DJ type features or the Genius whatever in Apple. So. I kind of go that way. I have 70 some gigs of music, so I have plenty to choose from.
Yeah, and does that sync across your? I mean, it's your house. Is the Zune software just on one PC, or you have it on multiple PCs across the house?
Multiple PCs across the house. I have it on my main desktop PC, my laptop, and it's also on my media center.
Okay. But the experience is right. I'm gonna plug my Zune into the same PC every time to make that connection my Windows Phone into the same PC every time, right? To get that same sync experience.
Actually, I don't really use it for syncing. I mean, it does when I do plug my phone in, but my phone actually syncs wirelessly every time I charge it. So that's pretty much how I sync.
And in addition to wireless sync, Jim, the other nice thing is that unlike at least the way iTunes used to work, when you plug in the phone, it does say, is this the computer you want to be the primary syncing device? So it will know if this is where it wants to move things back and forth. But you can also go on as a guest and add and remove files. So if you're at a friend's house, or if you're on a different computer, or if you're taking your laptop somewhere, you can go in and download stuff and move it onto the phone just fine. There's no problem with that. So it's nice to have that flexibility.
So Chris, at this point, how often are you using, are you in the Zune software and on your, I mean, versus your phone? I assume once you have stuff set up and you've got it set the way you want it, you're not in there all the time, right?
You know, I'll tell you, if I'm searching for music, if I'm trying to buy music, if I'm, I'm honestly in the software more than anything. Okay. If I'm on the go and someone says, oh, you got to check out this band, you got to check out this song, yeah, I'll pull it up on the phone. But to me, it's a little bit nicer and quicker to go through the software in order to find the band I'm looking for. Or the other thing that I do, I'm actually into music enough that I want to read the bio on the group. And I can give an example of that in a little bit. But the Zune software does a good job of not just saying, look, here's this song and buy it. It says, hey, look, here's the artist. Here's the band. Here's where they came from. Here's links out to who influenced them. Here's artists that are similar, or here's a band that this person was in previously. It does a really good job of letting you link out to different music based on what you're already interested in.
Yeah, the band pages in general for all the artists are really much nicer to look at. They're much nicer to that music experience is a lot better on the Zune software. And even then the phone, I mean, the phone can't do what the software can do. And the search is a lot faster, and I find the Zune software better for that experience. When you're on the go, it's great to be able to have the option to not do that, but I like that it gives me that option.
Yeah, the Zune software for me, it's a real polished experience, and that's really kind of what sold me on it.
Today I was, just before the show, I was out sitting waiting for a car wash, and so I pulled out the, I thought, hey, I got a podcast about this, so I pulled it out and went to the Zune Marketplace on the phone, and I was connected at that point via, you know, the cell connectivity. And I went to the marketplace, and I looked up an artist, and I don't have that in there now. So, but and Chris, like you said, the bio. I was looking at one particular artist. I guess I could buy I could buy the music right there if I wanted to. But I flipped over to the bio page, and you're right. They have a nice. I mean, they have like the history of the band.
Yeah.
There, it was long. I mean, I read it the whole time I was in the car wash, and I was pretty impressed at just kind of how lengthy that was and how much, you know, how helpful that was. There's things in there I didn't know. I mean, which is really interesting that it was there.
I find it surprisingly deep too. I mean, I think even artists that you know, mainstream artists, you would expect to see that, but I mean, it doesn't go super deep, but you can get some indie artists and there's still pages on there and people contributing to that. So
Chris, how do you buy your music then?
I don't.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me, Chris Lux.
Okay.
Sorry, Chris.
You can just call me Lux if you want.
Yeah.
So,
Chris, how are you? We talked it earlier. You're a Zune Pass guy, right?
Yeah. So I'd say probably half of what I do now is downloading from the Zune Pass because it's kind of an all-you-can-eat subscription. So you're paying. I'm still grandfathered in the old service, which was $15 a month, which meant you kept 10 tracks, which then puts them as non-DRM'd MP3s. And then unlimited downloads. Like, I download anything I want and listen to it. Then when I find something where I'm like, okay, yeah, this is what I thought it was. I really want to hold on to this. I use my 10 credits to buy it, or I just buy them with the Zune credits. Now, the Zune credits, Microsoft has done this stupid thing for years where Zune credits and Microsoft points are not dollar for dollar. So I think it's 800... I'm sorry, what is it, guys? Help me. 500 points is $8.
That's why I never liked that.
Okay, exactly. Yeah.
So the exchange rate.
Yeah, so it's really stupid. You always are sitting there thinking, what am I doing? And unfortunately, with the way they do it, you're always spending more money than you think you are. So it's not a good user experience. I don't know why they're stuck using that, but they are. I think it may be for international currency or something.
Sure, I would imagine that's, yeah.
So, yeah, so I would say I'm probably 50% subscription, download, listen to, and then it just goes away when I don't want it anymore. 30% of it I'm actually using my credits for, and the other 20% is, no, I want this album, I'm paying for it, I'm buying.
But you're on the old system, right? The new system is
the
not...
The new subscription is $10 a month.
Right.
All you can eat, downloads, you don't get to keep any of them, but you can still buy them. So honestly, that may end up making more sense for me because I'm probably at this point... I'm downloading a lot, but I'm probably only buying 1 to 2 albums a month. And depending on the cost, that extra $5 may or may not make sense. But it's one of those things where once you get rid of it, you can't ever get it back. So I'm not eager to get
it. It's like the old unlimited data on Verizon.
Which I have given up that on my AT&T subscription.
But, or AT&T, whatever that was. You know, when I first logged into the marketplace on the phone, it does say try unlimited music. And you can click that link and it'll sign you up for that Zune Pass.
That's the way they've always done it with Zune, is you get a month for free. And if you haven't done that yet, Jim, you really should, because you will change the way you listen to and search for music if you can just download anything you want.
Yeah, I DJ'd my son's wedding last summer, and I used the 30-day trial for the wedding. And so I just went on the pass and then just loaded up on all the music that they wanted. You know, I sat down with them and said, all right, kids, anything that you want, you know, any kind of music that you want, special music, whatever, let's do it now. And so we loaded up all the song lists from the unlimited, you know, from the Zune Pass, and I played it that way. So it is a good way. It is a good way to do that. I did want to show real quick, you know, you were talking about the bios. Let me switch this over so you can see it on the camera there. I am under albums here, and this I was searching on Huey Lewis. He's one of my favorite guys. But there's all his albums that are available. There's the songs that I can purchase right there on the phone. And then we talked about that bio, and this is a fairly lengthy. I mean, I thought, oh, it'll have a paragraph, No, it kind of goes for a while there. I mean, that was a couple swipes of the screen, and then the various it goes back to albums. So that is a nice. Yeah. I just wanted to show that feature.
And what's not in there, Jim, is that when you're in the Zune software or on the Zune website, that throughout that entire review, all of those artists and bands and some of the historical things are links. So you can link out to all of those things. So if it says, like, the lead singer in this group after leaving the band so-and-so, you can click on that singer or click on that group and explode out their entire history as well. So it's this great networking of musicians and artists. It's really cool.
A very unique way of searching through that kind of one artist to another artist to another mm-hmm. artist. It's kind of like a visual Pandora, right? Where
it's an active Pandora. You're actively choosing where to go and what to look at.
Okay. Mike, how are you buying your music right now? Are you buying it through the marketplace, or are you kind of a la carting wherever you can find it?
I'm still kind of old school. I mean, I have the Zune Pass, same as Lux, where I was grandfathered in. So when I find, you know, that one song that I like or whatever, I just use that to download it. But for the most part, I have certain artists that I really listen to a lot, and I support them by just going out and buying the actual hard CD. Part of that is
really?
Just because, yeah, I'm old school.
Wow, you are old school.
You know, part of that's because certain music I prefer to convert over to FLAC just for like parties and stuff like that. Just to, because I can actually hear the difference between an MP3 and a FLAC, unfortunately.
Sure.
I would love to be one of those people who can't.
Yeah.
You know, when I have headphones on, I don't notice it. But when it's playing through, you know, like the big home theater setup, it's completely noticeable. Mm-hmm. So, I still go out and buy certain select CDs, that way.
Christopher, how are you consuming music? I mean, you're kind of all over the place you've got Android and iPhone and all the other stuff. How are you getting music?
My biggest frustration with the Zune Pass is it's not portable to other platforms. I use too many other devices. I would totally go Zune 100% if that was available to me on Android, if it was available to me on my iDevices. I mean, I use an old iPhone in the car. I listen to, you know, I just have too many things that I do it on. And I was a big fan of the Zune Pass, had it with my Zune 8s, my Zune 30s, my Zune HD for sure. But it's not portable, and that's my big frustration. So I finally stopped using the Zune Pass and went to other options. I use Slacker and Spotify primarily to consume music. I buy a lot of MP3s on Amazon and Google Play, but it's the portability of the Zune experience that I'm disappointed by, because I really do like it.
Yeah, and the rumor has it that the replacement for Zune is going to be cross-platform. So there's this Project Woodstock that's being talked about that is the replacement for Zune. And we've seen in the last few months what Microsoft is doing with almost all of their apps is that they're sending them out cross-platform. They're making them for iOS, they're making them for Android. And so whatever Woodstock is, they're not going to want it to just be on Xboxes, Zunes, and PCs. They're going to want to get it out on all mobile devices. So I would suspect that that piece of the pie will be changed in the next few months to a year.
And I'll be happy to get right back on board, because I'm a big, like I said, the experience is really nice on the Zune. And by the way, you can buy the music that you buy off the website. You don't have to use Microsoft points. You can use whatever credit card is linked to your account.
Real dollars.
Dollars. And so I don't. When I did buy stuff from Zune, I went that direction just because I don't have any. I don't actually have an Xbox, so I don't have any Microsoft points just sitting around, not being used. So.
I have to admit, I'm an Amazon guy. So I buy them on Amazon. We store them in the cloud right there. We download them. I move them to the home server to be stored as well in MP3. And then we can move them cross-platform on anything we want. We have, you know, I mentioned this last week, but I have an Android phone. My wife has an iPhone. We the kids have those, those kind of the tweener phones. You know, they're kind of between a crappy phone and a smartphone. Mm-hmm. And so they need, you know, for us, the MP3 just works the best cross-platform. So I haven't, Mike, you mentioned you're not into streaming. I've always thought the industry was going to go that way, and it's I think it still might, where everything will be streaming. I think, you know, bandwidth's got to catch up to it. But I wanted to ask, let's see, I think Chris Brown, I want to ask you again, do you, Spotify, besides the Zune Pass, have you purchased any of the other streaming music services
and use
them on your phone at all?
Well, where I live, and especially in my commute, I'm in the rural Sierra foothills in Central California, and you can't count on bandwidth at all. We barely got 3G last year. So that's kind of where we're at. Everyone else is getting LTE, and we're barely catching up with 3G. So there's just big spots of my commute that I can't count on streaming. And the nice thing about Slacker and Spotify both is that they have cache options. So I'll go to Spotify or I'll go to Slacker, I'll cache my playlists, and that way I can play those up and down the mountain as I go to and from work.
And Slacker and Spotify both have native apps for Windows Phone 7?
Yeah. Slacker was first to the platform, and then Spotify shortly thereafter. And both of them, my experience has been great. Slacker, I like because the playlists are curated, and so if I'm kind of more in a music discovery mode, I'll download a 90s alternatives playlist and just play that, and you can kind of tweak that as you on the website if you want to as well. But like I said, the fact that I can cache it makes a big difference for me. It's why I initially went that direction.
Okay, Chris Lux, are you using any streaming services?
So I tend to. I also use the Smart DJ feature a fair amount, I'll pick something out of my collection and play that, and then it'll pull both from my collection on my phone, but also pull things over the network as well. So for streaming, that's probably the biggest streaming thing I do. I do stream podcasts occasionally.
Just the
built-in podcast.
The Zune. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
the
Zune, using the Zune software.
Using the Zune. So you subscribe to him in Zune.
So when I subscribe, I look in and it's like, wait a minute, last updated, like 10 days ago, I bet there's a new one. And I click Marketplace and it's, oh, yep, there it is. And I'll just start playing it from there. That's less than ideal because sometimes if you stop halfway through and come back later, it doesn't go back to the same spot. But that's not the main way I use it. I was more of a Pandora user with my iPhone that I had briefly. The Pandora client is fine for Windows Phone. I just don't use it very much.
But it's not a real. I mean,
no, it's
Pandora.
Not official.
Right?
It's the WP Fandora. It's kind of some weird knockoff thing, but it works. But I don't use that nearly as often. I have Spotify on there, but I never used it. I've never once even tried it. So.
And this is that. It's called Pando. Is that what it's?
I'm using WP Fandora. It's a very stupid name.
Those just crack me up how they come up with these different names to try and get around. Now, yeah. I think you had mentioned last week, Chris, there's some issue with Pandora them not wanting to have these clients on there, or
they're not a fan of them being out there. They say that they lead to an unreliable experience and this and that. And
so, why doesn't Pandora just develop an app for Windows Phone 7?
Good question.
Mike, do you know why?
No, I don't. I'm not really sure why. That's been one of my few frustrations with this platform has been, some of the larger, more extremely popular services. To me, it doesn't really make sense why they hold out. Certain services I can kind of understand, Instagram, that kind of thing. But, like for Pandora not to have an app, or, there's a few other ones out there that don't have native apps on this platform. It's a little baffling to me. You would think you'd want to try and just reach the widest audience possible. And, if you're already dominant in one market or even two markets, why not set out to dominate the third as well?
Sure. Yeah, it just seems maybe they just thought it was not going to go anywhere and go away.
Maybe.
And so they weren't going to put any resources to it. And it's still, I guess that could still happen. But, Mike, are any other, I know you said you didn't stream, but any music apps that you use?
I don't primarily stream. I do have some apps that I use for streaming. I've played around with Spotify a little bit. Last.fm is another one I've played with. Mm. I actually really like iHeartRadio. Basically, kind of aggregates local radio stations for local markets and streams them. So, I could be listening to, a rock station in New York or a, you know, hip-hop station from Texas, and kind of go that way. So that's kind of one way I stream. I also use that for music discovery. And another one I use is Mixtapes, which is kind of just a fun app it's kind of like you can just type in like dubstep or something, and it'll just play all kinds of amateur kind of stuff. So it's a fun app.
Okay. And then let's talk a little bit about, so that kind of covers music, but we're all podcast listeners. Mm-hmm. To some extent. I downloaded and have tried both the Podcast Pro or Podcasts Pro, which I didn't like as much. And then there's one called Drivecast that has a Windows client you go to a website and you can load. It's a lot like the Zune player in the sense that you load the podcasts in the client and then they sync, those sync over to the phone. Let's start with you, Chris Lux. Have you, besides the Zune, are you using any other applications for pod catching?
No. Okay. No, I stay strictly within the Zune environment.
Okay. So, Mike, for you, any other apps for pod catching?
No, I pretty much just stick with the Zune client as well. It you know, I'm able to find everything that I listen to. I listen to quite a few, actually.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem finding anything, and the way I use the phone, it downloads them at night. I wake up in the morning, hop in the car, I drive all day, so everything's available to me.
Okay, and then Chris Brown, did you do anything different for you? Listen to podcasts, first of all.
I know you do. I listen to podcasts all the time. My wife gets annoyed by how much I listen to podcasts, but for sure, I use Braincast sometimes. I like it's a good piece of software. It allows me sometimes to download larger podcasts where the Zune software doesn't, like if you're over the 50 megabytes and you're not on Wi-Fi, they won't let you download them over cellular. So Braincast will let me kind of bypass that restriction, that platform restriction. And then the one I wish worked better is Slapdash Radio. It's a Facebook connected kind of application, which allows you to start a podcast on your phone and then go to the website and finish it there, and just kind of, you know, let you start and stop over multiple devices. And I kind of like the idea of that, but the performance is not where it should be, kind of needs to be something that I would use kind of on a primary basis.
Christopher, have you played with Windows 8 yet?
Yes.
Have you seen the Slapdash?
I have, and I haven't put it. I'm right now running it in a virtual box.
Okay.
And just I'm not devoting enough resources to make the experience of Windows 8 kind of where I need to be.
Okay.
So I'm waiting for I bought an all-in-one Dell touchscreen that I'm going
right.
to move it to eventually, and then I'll probably try and use it there a little bit better. But
yeah, it actually was kind of broken for me. There were a number of podcasts, especially video podcasts, that just wouldn't mm-hmm. play, and I'm sure it's just linking issues and things. I actually emailed the folks at Techzilla and said, hey, your show doesn't play on here. Didn't get a response back, so I don't think they care too much yet, but... Right. It did seem like a really cool format, so I'm interested if that becomes a bigger deal in the future.
Yeah, I like the idea. Again, I'm using multiple devices and things like that, of being able to start and stop and not just have to always use one way of seeing something. I like that notion, and like I said, I was hoping Slapdash would kind of put that together, and it's a good idea. I just think it needs a little more work before it's mm-hmm. prime time, for sure.
I have to admit, I'm a little bitter on the Zune side. I can never get my podcasts to get enrolled. What's the word I'm looking for? In Zune, the Zune Marketplace.
I know a guy, Jim.
I submitted them like 5 times, Chris. And I went through the channels. I did the right things. And I could never get them there. And so everybody always asked me, I shouldn't say everybody. A few people asked me, like Tim Black says, so how come I can't find your podcast in the Zune Marketplace? I don't know. I don't know what why that home tech will not. So I always tell people they've got to manually, I have an RSS feed available right on the front of the site you can grab and then manually put it in. Not enough Zune users at this point. I mean, I've only heard the complaint a couple times. But
the sad thing is, Jim, I honestly think it is one guy. I think there is a guy who gets those requests and puts them in or takes them out. I listened to the Zune Insider podcast for a while, and the guy that was doing that spoke about it like, oh yeah, I got, you know, I added 5 new podcasts this week. And I was like, oh no, there's one person. And so
If the guy goes on your vacation, you're screwed.
That's exactly
couldn't.
Right. Or if he just doesn't like your voice, I don't know.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
Is fine, Jim.
I was gonna say it doesn't seem all of that curated, so I don't understand why it would be a problem. I mean, and it's not that hard to add a podcast, but I agree it's a barrier to entry that shouldn't be there. It should just be a matter of submitting, and iTunes clearly has no restrictions on podcasts because there's a lot of crap on that.
Yeah, well, they go, and those go through pretty quick. I mean, I submit those, and in a couple of days, I have a notice back that says you're in, you know, you're in, and then a day or so later, it starts showing up in iTunes for folks. And Stitcher was the same way. I mean, Stitcher, I submitted it in through their process, and then a couple of days later, or maybe a day later, they said, hey, congratulations, you're on Stitcher, we can find you. I was never able to get that done in the Zune marketplace. And so, Chris, if you know a guy, maybe we can
We'll get you in.
It's probably not too – at one point I thought, oh, it's too late. They're going to kill the Zune marketplace. But it does sound like maybe some of that stuff is going to migrate over.
Yeah, whatever it becomes, we'll still – I mean, they're still going to use that same database. So, yeah, we need to get you in there.
Anything I'll leave this kind of open for conversation. Anything that's really missing or that you wish was better from a music or podcast or video experience that's on your wish list for something coming up that maybe you know is coming up or you just wish they'd fix?
I have one for sure. Audible is the single biggest hole
yes.
in the platform for me.
Yes.
Yeah, it's totally and I hear it's
the app
one
exists
thing.
Though. The app yes. exists. I mean, Paul Thurrott has used it. He showed it. It exists. And they keep saying, "Oh yeah, it'll be out. It'll be out. It'll be out," and it never comes out. So I don't know what the deal is. So
okay, so Audible for sure. And we didn't talk about. Is there a Kindle? Does the Kindle devices work? Can you use like mm-hmm. the Kindle app? There is a Kindle
yep.
app. For that.
Yep, there's a Kindle app, and it works really well. Okay.
What else?
Titan, like you have, Mike, it's, mm-hmm. you know, reading on the 4. What is it, 4.5? What kind of 4. Screen
4.7.
4.7. It's a really nice experience. I on my iPhone, it was terrible to try and read something, but 4.7 is a pretty good size to do that on. So.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I opted for such a large screen phone. You know, anything over, you know, in the 4.5, 4.3, which I think is the Lumia 900, the 4.7 of the Titan, that's really... I mean, the tile system of Windows Phone 7 and probably Windows 8 really shines on something that large. Sure, the pixel density you can kind of notice, but, you know, I'd rather, after playing with smaller phones, you know, like the Focus Flash, I really prefer the larger screens. It's a better overall experience. The Internet Explorer works great on it. The Kindle app makes it really easy to read. So,
you know, for me as an Xbox user as well, there have been some really neat additions to the yes. Xbox environment if you're a Zune Pass subscriber, which is that you can play not just a smart DJ where you can list an artist and it will just start playing random music and then doing a really nice overlay of artist graphics, you know, pictures of the band, cover art, stuff like that. But it also does this kind of cool text effect where, like, you know, some of the bio stuff comes by and the name of the album and the timing and all this stuff. It's really kind of a slick interface. And it did the same thing in the Zune software. But now in the latest Xbox update, it also does a smart VJ or video DJ type thing. Where it will pick an artist and start playing music videos the same way. And it'll pick out similar music videos. And so I've done this a couple times at a party where I'll just start music videos going and it'll just bring up new ones. And if you're sitting there and someone's like, what is playing? This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You just say Xbox next and it jumps to the next thing. I think unifying that a little bit between the PC, the Xbox, and the phone, which is where they're headed, is going to be really cool. It would be kind of nice sometimes to be listening to a song and have it just say, this song is in our music video library. Do you want to switch to video? It's like, yeah, that's cool. And either having it switch over to that same spot in the video or just restart the song with video. I think would be kind of a cool thing. So getting music videos more onto the phone would be kind of a neat feature. And I think they are going to get there.
You'd watch them on your phone?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, the resolution's pretty good. It's for a couple minutes. If you're sitting there listening to a song and you're like, you know, I've heard this song 1,000 times, and then they say, oh, yeah, we've got a video on our marketplace. There have been a couple of times, like one of the artists I've listened to since I was younger was Paul Simon. And I'd never really ever seen a music video before. And was on the Zune marketplace and popped up a video, and it was like him working on some of his musical projects in Africa. And it was just amazing watching him sort of, that it wasn't just him standing in a studio with other people recording parts. He was living it. He was in there with these people, you know, figuring out what their rhythms were, what their music was, what they were interested in. And you could see it in the music video. So, yeah, I think if I had some downtime and was sitting on my phone, I would pull up some videos if they were a little bit more streamlined into the process, just like it is on the Xbox.
Okay. Anything else from a wish list perspective that's not there that you wish was? All right.
It's a pretty good experience. I mean, I think right now, having the Zune as the backbone, the Zune has always been a very good music experience. When you talk to the people that did get into the Zune, it was not just your casual music consumer. It wasn't someone who said, I want an iPod because I can put Piano Man on there and play it back-to-back shuffle, you know, 10 times a day. It was someone who said, you know what, no, I really want to dig into my music and I want to find more artists. And even this thing that was mocked most soundly was the squirting of songs where you could, you know, send songs back and forth. But that was the underlying theme was, hey, let's share music. Let's make something more out of this. And I think they've still kept that sense of community and that sense of digging deeper into your music in the Zune environment and whatever Woodstock is going to become. And that to me is where the strength lies in having the Zune background and hierarchy in Windows Phone.
I'll agree. And I want to add to that. I also think that integrating Xbox Live into the phone experience is really strong. My son is 15, avid Xbox user, and that's his primary gaming platform, actually over his actual Xbox.
Really?
Yes. You know, he'll fire up the Xbox, his real Xbox, to, you know, play some of the larger games, but for the most part, casual gaming, he is all over it. He wishes he had the Titan just because of the larger phone experience, which is
how big is his screen?
Gaming. He has the Focus S, so I believe it's a 4.3. It's basically the same as the Galaxy S2.
Now, I haven't even, let me see if I can get this on camera here. I haven't even, to be honest with you, I haven't even clicked the Xbox Live tile that's there, right? The green tile that says Xbox Live. It's hard to see on the camera, but if I click that, I assume it's going to make me sign in. I need an Xbox account that
correct. And is that, you know, here I'll try and
it's basically
so there yeah. You go. I mean, that's basically my Xbox account, my little avatar guy, you know, and it you know, you can just kind of scroll through and you know, there's the collection on there and you just pick which games you want. Right. Some of them are Xbox Live connected, which is a plus if you're 15. Because then it adds to your gamer score. But
can I get into this thing without having any kind of account? Do I need at least a silver account? Or because I know they have silver and gold, right?
I believe you need. Well, that's a good question. I think you need a gold account to actually link it.
I don't have a gold account. I don't have an Xbox, so I still have an.
Oh, Chris, we lost your audio. Chris, can you hear us? We lost. Yeah, you might have hit the mute button on there. Let's see if we can get him back in.
It's because he really wants an Xbox.
Jim, send that old one over your shoulder there on the shelf there. The thing's like ancient.
Yes. Let's see if I can.
The original. There it is.
Down right. Yeah, yeah. Right there. That's the original Xbox. Chris, we're having Chris Brown. No, we're not hearing you yet. Sorry. Shoot. It sounded like your cable came unplugged.
Oh. Is that better?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I literally stepped on it and unplugged it.
It happens. So you were in the middle of a sentence when you don't have an Xbox Gold.
I don't have an Xbox Gold. I don't have an Xbox at all. And now I'm kind of sad listening to the music experience on the Xbox from what Chris was saying. It sounds like a fantastic thing. But I'm able to still have gamer points and things like that, even with the silver account. So.
Oh, okay, so it does.
I sign in the same thing I sign into my Zune software, the same thing I sign into my Windows 8 machine. All of that is the same username and experience.
So. Okay, well, cool. I have to try that. We have a family account that both of our Xbox red ringed, and it's weird. I haven't replaced them, and we use it as an extender, right? And then I just put a Media Center PC out in the living room. And can you guys hear my wife laughing back there? She's in the living room just cackling like there's no tomorrow. So we put an extender out, or I put a media or a home theater PC out there instead. But so the kids, I asked them the other day, I said, do you guys miss the Xbox? I mean, we haven't had it for a year now, and they're like, well, yeah, there's some games that we have that we can play, but we just play them on the PC, so I guess it's okay. So my kids are kind of lukewarm. They won't necessarily die because they don't have the Xbox. Their experience with Steam and using that platform has been strong enough that it's met whatever needs they have from a gaming experience. But I'll have to try that. That's a tile I haven't messed with at all so far, and put our gamer tag in there, or maybe I'll put my son's gamer tag in there because he probably has more points than me, and all that stuff set up.
Yeah, I mean that, you know, do that and download the Xbox Companion as well application, and you know, on the phone. It's a fun experience. You know,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, and then my third, I guess in third place for me, that really makes the platform usable is the fact that Office is in it. I mean, being able to open and edit documents and Excel files and add to my OneNote without any issues, I mean, that's been...
Mike, do you use Excel much on there?
Me? Actually, yeah. I do, because I have, like, I'll have, like, an invoice or something for a customer. And rather than whip out my laptop, and if it's a simple invoice, I just pull open, you know, it's up on my SkyDrive. I just pull open one, type in the work order estimate, and then from there I can just email it to them.
So some basic function, I guess. One of my thoughts was how
I'm not doing crazy. Yeah, I'm not doing like crazy like pivots and you know multiple tabs or anything. I simple one page stuff. If you want to do you know, it's great for doing like real simple additive formulas where you want to show like a couple line items to someone. You know, hey, look, here's a list of PC parts, and here's what the costs are, and here's what your total is going to end up being. And you know, if you keep a couple of empty templates like that you think you would use on a regular basis, it's useful. It's a useful tool. I won't say that I'm, you know, same thing with PowerPoint. It's nice to be able to just have a PowerPoint slide on there and be able to rearrange stuff. If you're doing a lot of presentations, I guess. I don't do a whole lot. So, you know, for me, actually, OneNote has been the biggest one. I use OneNote for everything.
Ditto that.
You know, grocery lists, that kind of thing. You know, my kids, you know, whenever he wants, you know, needs, you know, bread or whatever for lunch or whatever, he just hops on. We have it linked kind of the same as Google Docs and, you know, a shared OneNote folder or notebook. And he just adds whatever he wants on there, and when I'm at the store, I can just whip open the phone, take a look at the grocery list, and see what everyone needs. And I mean, I got one for the grocery store, Costco, you know, Target. Nice. Whenever I'm somewhere, I can just whip open the list. You know, my wife will add something. Hey, pick up this prescription, whatever, whenever you get time. And if I happen to be somewhere, there it is.
Do you ever write back like, yeah, right? Like if your son's like, yeah, bring me home like 8 pounds of chocolate or something.
Yeah, I put that on there. I'll add a little note next to it that says you're dreaming.
Yeah.
Chris Brown, let me ask you this question. You're a math teacher and you're in high school and you have kids that have phones. And now there's some, you know, what? First of all, what's kind of the policy? And then are you worried about, there's pretty powerful features in these. especially being able to upload and keep documents and stuff on there. Do you worry about that as a teacher, of kids having access to these powerful enterprise features?
I live in a pretty, I teach at a pretty low-income, primarily ethnic school, and there's a surprising number of smartphones on our campus.
Yeah.
They're primarily Android phones. There's quite a few, iPhones.
Do you hear her now, Mike?
Yeah, now we hear.
She's obviously not listening to the show.
No. She does. She laughs like that during the show sometimes too. But I'm gonna tell her to hold it down here for a second. But keep going, Chris.
But the Lumia, interestingly, the Lumia is the only one that is. There's actual some students who are like interested in that, and it's the only Windows phone that I've seen any sort of. I've shown my phone off, and my kids are like, "Dude, that phone is big," but I've never actually had anyone say, "I want to buy a Windows phone," until the Lumia. And the Lumia's like, "Oh, I saw this blue phone. It's beautiful, and I really want that phone." It's the first one I've seen some interest.
They just say the blue phone.
Yeah, they just say the blue phone. They don't even know the name of it yet.
Let's rename it the Lumia.
Yeah, exactly. My son, my son's grandfather, he bought the white Lumia, and so my son calls it the Stormtrooper. So he's dying to get himself a Stormtrooper.
So maybe the name's bad. Maybe people don't know that branding name. That's interesting.
I told him that's what they should have named the phone. They should have just licensed it from Lucas, just like Droid did, and just called it the
Stormtrooper?
The Nokia Stormtrooper.
They would have sold a million of them.
Yep.
For sure, yeah. For sure. I do worry about the ability to... I mean, they're texting constantly. It's a pretty bad distraction in our classrooms today as a teacher. It's pretty rough. So we were actually banning, for the first time, we're banning headphones next year, because the amount of distraction from between the music and the texting is just my kids have a hard enough time concentrating to begin with, so it's rough.
Right on. No.
To add to that, although slightly on the flip side, I've noticed that my son uses his smartphone at school for a few different things. On his way out of class, he'll just hold the phone up and snap the whiteboard to take a picture of what the homework assignment is. He's done things like that.
Good use for sure.
I've actually, in kind of a college way, which surprised me, he actually recorded one of the lectures that they were giving at the school. The teacher was going over something in geometry, and he's been having trouble with geometry, so he actually recorded it and then went back through and listened to it two or three times to try and figure it out.
Yeah. Wow. So, as a recorder.
So there's been some use. Now, he did it on the sly, because if you're caught, obviously the phone is confiscated. And I know there's a problem with like locker rooms and things like that. So.
Yes. Oh. I actually had a student who, we have a web-based grading system, so my kids can check other grades all the time. And I actually had a kid who came up to me and pulled up their phone and said, "Look, Mr. Brown, you haven't turned in that assignment. I gave it to you yesterday. How come it's not in the grade book?" And that's annoying, but it's also really, I'm happy that they're interested in the grade. I'm happy that they're excited, and that they have, even if they don't have a computer at home, they have access to their grades. And if they use it in that way, I would be annoyed, but also pleased that they're doing it. So
that's good accountability, right? I mean, it adds an element. As you guys were saying this, I never even thought of that the practical applications of both taking the picture of the whiteboard, right? We do that at work from time to time. Especially if we have a 2 or 3 hour meeting and there's been a lot of whiteboarding, before we leave, somebody, or maybe two people for redundancy purposes, takes a picture of it, because you can never guarantee the cleaning staff aren't going to come through and wipe it out. And so I never thought of that at the high school level of kids doing that. That'd be helpful. And the second thing is if you could, the recording of a class, especially for kids who have maybe learning disabilities or struggle with the lecture style of learning, maybe a great opportunity. I used to go into, when I'd go into some lectures, I'd open my laptop, open OneNote, and I would record the meeting right into OneNote.
Yeah, this will go down a rat hole a little bit, but I've just been spending a little time with some developmental pediatricians, and they talk a lot about IEPs, which are individualized learning plans. Mm-hmm. What does the E stand for?
Educational.
individual educational plan. And it is exactly for that, Jim. It's for kids that are having some difficulty with processing or learning issues. And there's a lot of technology coming into play there, whether it's recording information, whether it's note-taking information, whether it's speech recognition software. There's a lot of little things that are helping some of these kids get by. And I think there's going to be a tough balance between having extra distractions there, so a kid that's already kind of distractible now having this thing that maybe it's helping them pick their notes, but maybe it's helping them play Angry Birds in class. I think it'll be interesting to see where we go with some of that stuff. But that's kind of a tangent. So.
It's my life every day too, by the way.
Yeah,
I was going to say for the other Chris, it's a real world. I mean, these things aren't going away, and so it's a real world. Like, okay, how do we exploit the strengths of these devices? How do we take the best out of them? And because you know what, these kids are going to be they're going to have these devices in the workplace going forward. They've got to figure out a way to manage their ADD with them. You know, last night,
as do the parents.
No, this was totally that story. So last night, we went out, I have a fire pit in the backyard and we started a fire and we're just having fun out there. And so we were all sitting around the fire. And at one point, all three of us, my wife, my daughter, and myself, we all had our phones out and we were on our, you know, we were doing stuff on our phones outside in front of the fire. You know, you think, oh man, these things are a distraction.
Yeah.
And yet they're not. I mean, they are very, very powerful collaboration tools, communication tools, you know, recording tools. I think there's a lot of things that can be done with them. That might be a whole podcast in itself at some point, and how you use those in education.
Jim, before we get off music, a couple quick things I wanted to throw out there. One was that one of the things that the Windows phones have that you don't see in every other phone is a radio built in. So there's over-the-air FM radio.
And how do I get to that, Chris?
Just go into the Zune software.
Okay.
And it's one of your things listed is radio. And you have to have headphones plugged into it because the headphones act as the antenna.
Oh, nice.
But it's a good radio signal. So the Zune HD had an HD radio, so it's actually doing like high definition. I don't think it's HD in the Windows phones anymore, but it still sounds just like normal radio. And so that's kind of a nice feature when you're out and about and trying to use some radio stuff. That's fun. And it does some nice tuning things that are helpful and favorites and stuff like that. Any of you guys, other guys use the radio at all?
I've used it a few times, yeah.
I don't, only because where I live I can get like a half a radio station, so I'm just out of range for those things. But
I usually don't use it just because I have like 5 kajillion podcasts.
Exactly.
So
that's my hierarchy. My hierarchy is podcast, music, radio. So once I get bored with the other two, I get to radio, which is not all that often. So
right.
Now, so, Jim, you're not locking in too easily because you don't have your headphones plugged in.
No, I was going to say, one, I don't have the antenna in. So, but it's really interesting. So it's swipe to change the channel, right?
Yep.
So swipe that thing and it starts searching.
Yep,
for the,
and you can add favorites to it so that it'll lock into that.
If you're watching this live, the picture's backwards. I apologize for that, but it gives you the idea.
The other little category I was going to talk to you about was, and this is not just exclusive to Windows Phone, but just the usability of Bluetooth, both in the car. So to me, it's a great thing to have my player in my pocket or in my cup holder or something and streaming Bluetooth audio to the car. And there's also some options to get Bluetooth adapters for your home audio system where you can basically sit a little adapter down and then have your phone or anybody's phone that's around plug into it and use your nice speaker system to play out the audio that's coming off of your phones, again, whether it's music or podcasts or whatever. So I think that's something to remember when we're talking about music for completeness sake is the Bluetooth is a nice feature.
You know, Chris, that's a good point. One of the things I've always bought those Motorola Bluetooth car, hands-free car, you know, that's a speaker phone and it's you connect to it. It's got a transmitter in it that goes to the radio and the quality to the radio is never very good.
Yeah, you want a built-in Bluetooth to your car, I think.
So, but at this point, right, I've got an 06 Civic. It's got an aux in. Are there Bluetooth adapters that have aux out where it would, I could go the music aux in so I don't have to deal with the radio, but I can still, have you guys ever seen
that? I imagine so.
Side note.
I have. Actually, I was on Merit Line the other day, and they sell one for, I think, $26 or something.
Oh, that's
like
not very bad. I should just get one of those.
Just to try out, yeah.
Yeah. Because I love to do Bluetooth. This is Chris, maybe an area where Windows Phone's stronger than Android. Getting my Android to work with Bluetooth stuff has not, it's not impossible, and maybe it's not as hard, but it's been a little shaky for me. It hasn't always worked as well as I'd hoped it would each and every time. I'll have to pick up a Bluetooth device and give the Windows Phone a try. I have yet to connect it to anything Bluetooth at this point. I don't even have it turned on. So
yeah, and there's starting to be a trend too in portable Bluetooth speakers. So I've used a basically like a 900 megahertz speaker thing before, where I have to have like a physical transmitter plugged into the wall, and then the battery speakers out like in the corners of a large party. And then plugged into the headphone jack for that. But I think the next iteration of this is these big battery-operated speakers that have a Bluetooth receiver in them, so that you can play it straight from what you're carrying around with you. And that's going to be a great technology, whether they're plug-in speakers or battery speakers. These things are powerful enough that you can fill a large outdoor area with pretty high-quality sound. And you'll get away from that hiss and pop and crackle that you get from the cell phone signals.
Yeah,
I've tethered mine to actually a Jawbone Jambox, and that worked out really well.
Okay.
I like those.
I'll have to look into that. Tejoski in chat says, yes, they do make what I was asking for. So I'll have to – I can't believe I've never thought of that to this point. I've always tried to make these receivers work, and I should just get a little Bluetooth receiver that has aux out and give that a try as well. You know, and we won't talk about it now. Maybe this will be for the next time we get together, and Mike, you might be you might have some experience in this. But Tejoski also mentions one of the things is it has a seemingly lack of support for VPN, and I imagine some desktop remote desktop access. Is that I don't want to talk a lot about it, but Mike, you're shaking your head. Yes.
Well, for me, one of the big things I use is TeamViewer, and again, they don't make a Windows. They make an app for everyone else. They don't make one for Windows Phone 7. I'm not sure why, but there is remote desktop apps that work, but they work usually using remote desktop. They're not technically like VPN clients. So,
sure.
That may be something forthcoming in Windows 8. I'm not sure.
Might be some additional info on that. Chris, we've gone a little past our hour, but I did want to give you a chance to update us on the Seton beta Windows Phone. Do you have any more information on that? We talked about a little bit about that.
Yeah, so very minimal update at the moment. So yesterday and today, Seton's been going live with a beta testing for a Seton Companion app. The basic idea, which they've already talked about in their press releases, is that you're going to be interacting with a Media Center machine now, and then in the future they're extender products. They're going to have both a cable card tuner extender and then a standalone extender device. And pretty interesting so far. It's definitely in kind of pre-beta phase right now. They're still testing a lot of things. The initial interface looks nice. It looks really good on Windows Phone. I've been trying to resist the urge to beat up on the iOS and Android people in the forums and be like, look how pretty our app is, just because it looks nice on the Metro style. But the basic idea is you're going to be interacting with your media and things from your phone, and your phone will sort of become a media management device from that app. If you're a Windows Media Center person and a Windows Phone person, actually any phone person, it'll be a nice addition, but definitely some testing that'll have to go on to get it a little more streamlined before they're ready to go live.
Keep us posted. I know it's a beta program. Can anybody get involved in that beta program? Is that
so the beta's closed at this point? There was an open login before or an open sign up before, but I believe that's closed now. I don't know if they'll plan on opening it back up again or not, but I've never done a beta like this before, and it's interesting sort of being on the inner workings and seeing what's going on, but it's nice to see that they're from the ground up working with Windows Phone.
Is that just Seton? If folks wanted to, are they posting anything publicly about the beta anywhere that you know of? If folks want
you can look at the products that they're talking about. And there's also some YouTube videos. They're kind of hokey. There's like those inflatable shark things that you can fly around now. It's like one of those flying around, and they're like harassing the production crew, so I don't know what the deal is with that video. And it tells you very little or nothing about what the beta is. But, yeah, they're talking a little bit about it, but mostly they're just kind of having fun while they're building this thing. So,
all right. Very cool. We'll keep us posted on that as we go. I don't know how many of these podcasts we'll put together, but have they given any kind of close date for that beta at all, or is it just kind of open at this point?
Well, the beta's closed.
No, but I mean your involvement in it.
You know, I don't. So there's two phases. There's a software phase and a hardware phase. They have not announced who's going to be in the hardware version yet, but right now it's just looking at the apps and the companion software on the computer. And in a few weeks, they're going to be announcing who's going to be involved in the hardware portion of it. Okay. And but I think both parts of that are closed for entry at this point. So
okay, good enough.
So I'm your insider. Kind of, I'll let you know.
Sure, you bet. So. You bet. If folks have information on that, of course, or if they have questions on that, send an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. I'll forward those on to Chris. And, of course, Chris, you're out there in social media platforms. You could track him down as well, but the easiest way would be to do that. Well, let me wrap it up with this. Two things. One, if you have a Nokia phone and you want to try out some of the beta products, I mentioned this early in the show, betalabs.nokia.com is the place to go. Everything you can sign up for, some access to that, and a lot of their beta apps are going on out there. Nokia seems to be developing some pretty good apps on their own. When I went to the AT&T store this week, and by the way, Jose is my new friend. Oh, you can't see that. Jose at our local AT&T store, let's get that, there we go, is my new friend, and actually really good customer service at the AT&T store. They got me hooked up with a SIM. I put about $30 worth of data on it, and it's so that the phone would work from a phone call and a text and a data standpoint. I don't plan to download tons of stuff to it. I'm using it via Wi-Fi mostly. But the in-store, at least here on the L Street store in Omaha, Nebraska, the in-store experience was great. So, Jose, thanks for hooking me up with and making that easy to get the SIM card and get that in there in doing that. The other thing I did when I was in the store, I said, hey, have you seen this Nokia Drive? And they had not seen that yet. And so I pulled out the phone and I was showing him, and he was like, oh, man, I got to show customers this, especially in the sales experience. And so that was kind of fun to teach the store guys a little bit about the Nokia apps that are out there, and Nokia seems to have their own. AT&T has a few of their own as well. So it's a weird one. As soon as I put the AT&T SIM card in and I went to the app store, it said AT&T featured that had not been there before. And so there's some AT&T featured apps that they have. It's a little redundancy over some of the Nokia ones, and the Nokia has some redundancy over some of the Windows Phone 7 ones. Everybody's kind of competing in that space. I think, you know, if we looked at AT&T has a nav or a maps, Nokia has a nav and a maps, Bing is a nav and an app, although from what I've heard, that Bing experience, the Bing navigation experience is not great. At least that's, everybody says, oh yeah, don't use Bing. So I don't know if you guys can confirm nor deny that.
I think it's all right. I mean, it's nowhere near what my Android phone. I mean, the Google turn by turn nav is pretty much the you know, bellwether for okay. Nav apps. I haven't tried any of the pay ones, but you know, the Bing one, it usually gets me where I need okay. to go.
Well, and they just announced that the backbone for some of the traffic for the Bing Maps is coming from Nokia now, like just in the last week or so. Okay. So some of those things that you like from Nokia are coming in to be the data.
Is that only on the Nokia phones?
No, I think that's the entire Windows phone.
Oh, and nice. And I think the genesis of that is, of course, Nokia bought NavTech a couple of years back, and so we'll want to integrate as much of that technology. And those maps and that experience with NavTech for me has been dynamite. Maybe we'll spend some more time diving deeper into navigation on a future show. Well, guys, I want to thank you. I want to thank the three of you for coming on today. Chris Brown, thank you for answering a tweet out there and being willing to take a chance. And it's not easy for folks who have not podcasted before. The first time you do it, it can be a little bit of like, oh, my God, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah, he's a natural.
But you did a great job, and we'll look forward to maybe having you back on other shows, especially as we talk about the Windows Phone in the future. Hopefully you'll be willing to do that when we put the call out.
Anytime. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Mike Martis, thank you for taking some time out today. I know, are you guys recording BYOB this afternoon?
No, we're skipping this week due to the holiday, so we'll pick up again next week.
Okay, very cool. Well, of course, you're at BYOB, and that's part of the homeservershow.com community, and that you guys record just about every week on hardware, I always spend a lot of money after listening to your guys' show because you guys talk about some very cool stuff. And where can they find you? Are you on Twitter at all?
I am on Twitter at RaceCarMike.
You use it much?
I blast every once in a while. I kind of go through spurts where you won't hear from me for a month, and then over the course of a week, I'll tweet out. I try to keep myself. I assume that most people are already
over.
Yeah, they're over communicating. So I try not to blast out like, "Hey, yeah, check out this neat new thing," and you know, I've already received it from like five other people.
Right.
So
right.
I try and just tweet out, you know, little excerpts of my life.
Sure, sure. So. Well, good. Thanks for taking some time on the holiday weekend to do that. Mm-hmm. And of course,
no problem.
Chris Lux, and Chris is the anchor here of all things Windows Phone. And so, Chris, I appreciate you taking some time out of your weekend as well to be a part of the podcast.
Glad to hold the ship in place.
Very nice. Well, we'll do it all again. If this is the first time you've heard the podcast, you can get this podcast and a bunch of others over at theaverageguy.tv. We also do a whole bunch of podcasting around Windows Home Server and storage and cloud storage and all that stuff over at homeservershow.com, which BYOB is a part of that network as well. We all kind of hang together. And if you have any questions about anything in this, you can just send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Thanks, guys. We'll try and do another one maybe next weekend or the weekend after that. I have no idea when we'll put these things together, but we'll do it again. Thanks for coming out today. I appreciate it.